It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Delta 8 and other products derived from hemp can have effects similar to marijuana. And these products, they're all around us in the forms of oils, drinks, gummies, chocolates, vapes, even pet treats. Lawmakers here in Wisconsin, where marijuana is illegal, have signaled their concerns over how to regulate and enforce hemp-derived THC products that are consumed and what to do about this growing marketplace. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, provisions being debated in the upcoming farm bill could potentially shut down widespread distribution of intoxicating hemp products. To learn more about these substances, we have Lucas Rickert, professor in the School of Pharmacy at UW-Madison, where he studies the history of medicine and pharmacy, including cannabis history and policy. Luke, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
So hemp industrial row crops are a multitude of uses. There is also this growing concern over intoxicating hemp products. Can you explain hemp as a consumable and what is known about these intoxicating hemp products?
I'll do my best. I mean, you almost need a PhD in agriculture and maybe also a law degree to understand what's happening here. But I guess just think about two categories. The first is hemp. And the second is cannabis. So cannabis refers to Delta 9 THC. That's what we've all come to know and understand. Basically is weed or marijuana. And so just think Cheech and Chong or Snoop Dogg or Bob Marley and Seth Rogen.
Okay, so, we got that in our head.
Okay. So then there's hemp, and that's the other category. And in 2018, a federal law called the Farm Bill created a definition for hemp, and that's for the first time. And it's the same plant as the first category, cannabis sativa L, but this definition of hemp has to have 0.3 Delta 9 THC or under to be in compliance with federal law. Hemp, in other words, can only have tiny trace elements of Delta 9 THC, but all the other bits and pieces and get all sciencey isomers, extracts, derivatives, they're technically legalized at the federal level.
And could the synthetically derived aspects of these products have consequences that we just don't know about yet?
Well, that's a tricky one, right? So what happens is under federal law, naturally derived pieces of the hemp plant are allowed to be sold and marketed to the general public. But the problem is if you convert the natural derivatives into a synthetic version, then technically that's in violation of federal law. But DEA, which has oversight, isn't actually enforcing this just yet. So, you know, in Wisconsin and the wider US, the hemp market is close to $30 billion. And then you have the legal cannabis marketplace, which is very close to $25 billion. So you have these two sort of markets that are working against each other, that have kind of been pitted against each other because of this farm bill. And then you get all these hemp products that are federally legal, and they're available all across the state of Wisconsin for all sorts of things.
This patchwork you've called like a Wild West. What is it like out there with these different competing products and markets for these products?
So if you went out in Madison or northern Wisconsin, all the counties have got different types of products that are available for everything under the sun. So you've got oils and tinctures, you've got soft gels, you've got edibles, you've got topicals, vape products, you've got personal care products, and you can go into shops that are advertising THC, legal cannabis, and get whatever you sort of are desiring because of this hemp gray zone or this loophole. Basically, it's the super complicated giant gray zone economy right now, and regulators are trying to figure out whether or not they should be closing loopholes and whether or not regulators of the FDA or the DEA should start enforcing.
What are testing and safety like in this aspect? I mean, how are Delta 8 and other hemp-derived THC products being tested for safety?
Well, there's a few ways, and some of it is private, and some of it's coming from the industry itself, and then some of it's coming from state-run labs. So we've got here the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And so they run tests for things like purity, and they run for safety and quality. But then you've also got the orgs like the U.S. Hemp Authority or the Association of Agricultural Chemists. They do their own testing. Sometimes, you know, there isn't enough horsepower here in the state to get all the testing done, so they outsource to other labs. There's also multinational labs that do this sort of work for prices. So, you know, edibles can be sent away elsewhere out of state for testing, or even pet products. I mean, you can go and buy edibles for your dog or cat if they're too wound up. So these also have to be tested.
In academia, what type of testing or research is going on in this area that you're curious about?
Well, I think we need to get a better handle on the different types of cannabinoids. We have an endocannabinoid system in the body, which, you know, not to get too technical, basically it receives the different types of chemicals that come from the plant. And so the plant itself has got all these different constituent components, and they all act on the body differently. And so hopefully we're going to see more testing in the future to enable scientists, physicians, doctors, what have you, to get a better handle on how these different, you know, parts of the plant actually impact our body. So, you know, like I said already, I mean, we know THC Delta 9. That's kind of the Cheech and Chong, Seth Rogen version that everyone sort of has a handle on.
The psychoactive compound that makes you high.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, everyone sort of understands that as cannabis, but I mean, there's so much more to the plant that we don't really understand. And there's this sort of alphabet soup. So there's Delta 10, there's Delta 8, there's THCO, there's HHC. And, you know, these are the types of products that are available in gas stations, that are available online, that are available in various pop-up stores in the state that we don't really have a great understanding of just yet. And I think that, you know, in the future, the testing is going to be super important to sort of drill down and sort of understand more clearly how this impacts the brain and the body.
Well, it seems also like cannabis research seems to be more focused on the medicinal uses. And I'm wondering, are there research gaps in the area of hemp and cannabis? Are there things scientists just, you know, are really grappling with?
Well, I think besides scientists grappling with what we don't know, I think social scientists and politicians are also grappling with what the marketplace could and should look like in the years ahead. We have this nearly $50 billion marketplace in the United States, and state-regulated cannabis has been pitted against the hemp marketplace. Some people are calling this a bit of a civil war. And, you know, legislators and government might need to weigh in to help clarify what, you know, the marketplace should be doing in the years ahead. The Food and Drug Administration has said that it needs federal guidance to start regulating hemp. The Drug Enforcement Administration is currently not enforcing synthetic THC. So it's not just science, but also social science and policy that needs to get sorted out.
We're talking about how Delta 8 and other hemp-derived THC products are shaping conversations around marijuana in Wisconsin. Luke Rickert is here from the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. So Wisconsin is in a somewhat unique position where marijuana being illegal here, but we have states surrounding us, Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, where marijuana is legal. What kind of effects are you seeing from being in this, you know, quote unquote, gray zone?
So certainly you have consumers who have the ability to access hemp-derived products in Wisconsin, but then you also have consumers who are going out of state to Illinois, to Michigan, to access state-regulated products. And there's always decisions that have to be made as a consumer, where you're going to put your money. Are you going to put your money into a product where you don't necessarily have full trust and faith in that product because it is operating in a gray zone? Or are you going to go and spend money on a regulated product, either a medical product or a personal use product out of state? And so legislators here really have to reckon with this lost revenue that could be put to good use in the state. And certainly there have been efforts relatively recently on the part of both Democrats and Republicans to put forward bills to give Wisconsin residents access to both medical and recreational cannabis.
In terms of hemp-derived products, what kind of regulations could be proposed that would help create more standards, whether it's purity or potency, that would create more predictability in this marketplace?
So almost 20 states in the U.S. have banned hemp-derived products. And that's because these states have initiated either medical cannabis programs or personal use programs. And hemp-derived products, because they operate in this sort of gray zone, there's too much uncertainty. There's too many unknowns. And so different states like California, as one example, have said that they're going to essentially ban or prohibit these types of businesses. So, I mean, this is one option that legislators in Wisconsin could do, ban hemp-derived products just in the same way that they have prohibited medical cannabis and personal use cannabis.
What would you say to consumers in Wisconsin who might be interested in trying Delta 8 or these other types of products on themselves, on a pet, in makeup? I mean, there's so many different array of products out there.
Oh, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it really runs the gamut from digestive health to skin health to sleep improvement to stress relief. And so there's all these different types of products that are available in our state. And so I suppose if I had to go, you know, offer any sort of advice, it's just be very careful in thinking through whether or not there are any sort of shady practices going on, whether or not that has to do with mislabeling or false claims, thinking about contamination of a given product. So, I mean, be wary of things like looking at the products that are actually in the ingredients that are in this sort of product that you're getting from a gas station or wherever you happen to be getting it. I mean, there's just so many unknowns because of this gray market, and there are so many unknowns because of sort of the Wild West that is hemp-derived products, that consumers really have to do their homework. And that could very well mean going online, that could be going on Reddit, talking with people, because there are all sorts of issues with the products. So like I said, verify claims if possible, look for certifications if you can, maybe do some background on the given company. Those are just a few thoughts.
And how can history inform our understanding of intoxicating hemp products and the decisions that need to be made now?
There are a couple ways of thinking about it. The first model probably has to do with the pharmaceutical industry, and before that, the patent medicine industry. I mean, we used to have a completely unregulated marketplace for the pharmaceuticals, and it wasn't until major advocacy groups and lobbyists were pushing for more regulations in the early 1900s that we got the Food and Drugs Act. And then before that, we could just go into our local drugstore and buy cocaine and heroin, and we can order it through the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And so it took a concerted effort really to get a regulatory architecture in place that gave us sort of faith in the pharmaceuticals that we were getting. And then the second model would be alcohol prohibition. And, you know, there's a patchwork of laws across the country in the early 1900s. And some states were dry states, some states were wet states. And then finally, in 1920, we banned alcohol across the entire country, which was a massive experiment. And people looked to cut corners and find loopholes there as well. And so you could get a prescription for medicinal liquor. You know, you could go to the drugstore and get medicinal liquor. And so there are a couple different ways of historicizing what's going on right now.
And fast forward to today, where this new massive farm bill is being debated and in the works. What are you watching for in relation to hemp?
Well, I'm watching very closely to see if the Drug Enforcement Agency is going to be pushing to enforce synthetic THC. I'm going to be watching to see if the Food and Drug Administration is going to agitate to start regulating the hemp marketplace. And, you know, at the state level, I'm going to be watching to see what our government is doing with medical cannabis and then with personal use cannabis programs.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Really appreciate it.
That is Luke Rickert, professor at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy, and we've been talking about this new wave of alternative marijuana products and the future of regulation for hemp-derived products. You can read more about this story and others on our website, WPR.org. You can also listen back to any of our conversations on WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. Start your day with WPR's new daily news podcast. It is called Wisconsin Today Morning News. From state government to science, you'll never miss a story from our award-winning news team. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts or at WPR.org/morningnews.